This is the Town of Bolton Board of Selectmen meeting Tuesday, January 7th, 6:30 PM, Town Hall and Zoom. First, I'd like to pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to call the meeting to order now at 6:01. We'll start off with public comment. Is there anybody who'd like to make a public comment?
Lori Vernier. I live at 50 Luma Drive in Bolton, obviously, over by the lake. I'm here to talk about our main power line, which is a bizarre topic. There's about 40 to 50 households. We live on Linwood Drive, Colonial Road, Sunningdale, Juniper, and Orchard Lanes. All but five of the houses are on town-maintained, town-owned roads. The problem with our power line is it comes down Colonial Road. Two-thirds of Colonial Road is dirt and is considered private. The last time the road was used as a through road was probably in the late 1970s, early 1980s. The road is essentially an impassable cow path with an infinite number of trees and tree debris, which falls on the lines, and we lose our power incredibly frequently, 4 to 6 times a year, anywhere from a couple hours to several hours. The last time we lost our power was the Saturday before Thanksgiving, for like 8 to 10 hours, and the time before that was the Friday before Thanksgiving. We have fewer hours, and if anybody Thanksgiving dinner, it was quite inconvenient. As society has become more technologically advanced, losing our power is not only inconvenient, it is unhealthy and unsafe. We would like the town to help us residents do something to get the tree branches trimmed back so that we don't lose our power seemingly every time the wind blows. It also is a town issue. If we lose our power for more than 24 hours, a crew from the town with a truck and a generator has to go house to house to energize the sewer turtles so that the sewage is pumped. So we just wanted to bring it to the town's attention and to look for your help in solving it, the problem.
Thank you very much.
Excuse me, can I get her last name, please?
Vernier, V-E-R-N-I-E-R.
Thank you.
Yes.
Hi, I'm John Lender, Jonathan Lender, L-E-N-D-E-R, 23 Colonial Road. I had a discussion with Mr. earlier, so this will be a little repetitive to you. We're looking at this. I second everything that Lori just said. I've been here 10 years. We've talked for years with our neighbors about, another outage. Oh, there's a puff of wind today, and you know, maybe it's going to get over 30, 35 miles an hour. We may lose our power, and we often do. And, you know, I call it, with my friends, Outage Alley, this wooded area where they're, and I can actually, you know, every day I can look out and I can see limbs hanging over wires, and it seems inevitable that they're going to fall, and they often do. That's where almost all of these outages originate. And, you know, we're looking for, to start with the town. I mean, I'm probably going to talk to one of our state reps just to get this on the map. You know, we talk among ourselves, and individually, we call up Eversource, and individually, we don't make an impression. After what happened with the two consecutive long 7 and 8 hour outages, we thought, you know, we can get listened to if we talk as a group, and maybe the town can help weigh in with Eversource. And you know, we're not asking You know, we're not the only people. You know, we're not the only people who have outages, but we, I think we do have more than our share, and we're like often the first to go and then among the last to come back, it seems, when you look at the outage map. So we just would like to start a dialogue, and I've been invited by Mr. Rupert to come in and make appointments after we learn exactly what's what with this right of way. You know, what are EverSource's responsibilities? What are their rights? And it seems that if we have a dialogue with the town and with them, maybe as Mr. Rupert said, we could get a meeting with a representative from EverSource, then maybe we can get something done. The last time that I got on the phone, November 22nd or 23rd, with a very nice lady from EverSource, she took down my number and my email and said, you know, you're right to call and you're right to talk with your neighbors. And I'll have the district supervisor get in touch with you this coming week. I thought, it's never going to happen. And it didn't happen. And so we want to get listened to. And we think that if they listen to us, they'll do better by us. And we're not asking for anything that if we were in your position, that we wouldn't be willing to do for residents of the town to ask them. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else who would like to speak?
Hi, Dan Zielinski, Zielinski. I live at 15 Colonial Road in Bolton. I was brought up in the city. We always had electricity. I moved out here in 83. By 85, I had to buy a generator because we were losing power so much. So you adjust. Burn that generator out, and now I'm on my second generator. And my calculations have been we lose power, and it's not always, but from where Colonial meets Sunnydale, from Sunnydale up to Kubel's, that's where it's not a finished road. It's a cow path, and if you look up, you can see the limbs hanging over the power lines. And our power comes from Kubel's down the Colonial. That's where it originates. So if you were to look up that road and see the trees, you're going to say, it's just a matter of the right wind. It seems unfair. We pay the same taxes as everybody else. That we should lose power so much when it's a fixable item. But it's almost like that road has been abandoned. There's no maintenance done to that road whatsoever. They maintain Colonial Road up to Sunnydale. That's the end of it. It just, I guess coming from the city, it seems like I've been back in time because we lose power so much. And that's about it for me.
All right. Well, thank you. I understand what you're saying. Sawyer?
Well, I guess you may not know, but the board does not interact with you during public comment.
Pardon?
The board does not interact with you during public comment.
Okay, because, I wasn't sure if somebody might have had a question. That's why I stopped and stood.
And I didn't want you to feel that we were not interacting, but it's
no.
Board talks.
I understand. I understand.
Hi, Holly McDonald, MACDONALD, 52 Linwood Drive. I'm actually Lori's neighbor. I did some research on my own. I did call the town twice. I did call EverSource. I didn't get calls back from anybody, which was disappointing, at least to tell me there was going to be a meeting. I found out through Lori. One of the concerns that I have is what everybody's been talking about with this right-of-way. And I did a little bit of research on the land records from what I could do online. And I could not actually find a right-of-way between Helco or Hartford Light Company, CLNP, EverSource, or anybody. Now, it may be that it's on one of the maps or something, but as they're saying, it's as though it's been abandoned and has become an abandoned road. We have probably four or five landowners along that strip there. And it seems to me that it would be something that would be appropriate to have a search done, determine if there really is a right of way there, that was granted to the town or to Helco or to whoever to make sure that that's maintained properly. And if it needs to be maintained on private property, that can be done. They have to get permission. Helco, you know, or Eversource would have to get permission, but they could get that permission. And with the backing of the town, it would be very helpful because, as they're saying, we're losing power a lot. The other thing that we've noticed, and Lori got it, and I think another neighbor down the street, we had our generators running, but then we were getting some differences in our power level, even though the power was still on. I'm not sure why, and it was simultaneous, which was weird. So we are concerned about it. We know that they've done some work there, but they need to come back and we have to come up with a solution because I don't think that, I don't know, 10-15% of those people that we're talking about actually have generators and can haul them out when we have a long power outage. And a lot of these families have young children. Mm-hmm. So if there's anything I can do to help in any way that way, I'd be glad to do it, but somebody needs to do something.
Well, thank you for your input. I guess there's no others unless there's somebody online.
May I just give this to you? The ground I wanted to cover. I didn't read from it, but you're welcome to keep it as a...
We can put it in a record.
Yes.
Mr. Fitzblackman, could I ask them if they would give us their name, address, and phone number or email? Would that be helpful?
You could do that. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Just pass it down and just give it back and be done.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Let's see. Correspondence. We all have the correspondence from Rod Harley. Mm-hmm. In reference to the opposition to the parking lot at Fulton Notch State Park. So the DOT or DEEP has decided to expand the parking lot at Fulton Notch Park. I believe they got all the money put aside for it, and it was on, was it ARPA money?
I don't know.
And they're looking to add up to 100 parking spots. And I guess the question is, what's the thoughts of the board on that? Yes.
When the the multi-use trail was being designed between Manchester and Bolton Notch, I had a number of meetings with the design team about various issues regarding that trail. And one of the things that they talked about was that one of the benefits of that section, that loop section that stops at the commuter lot, was that commuter lot was going to be the new parking area for the access to the trail. So as of the time of the design, it was never the intention of this lot being expanded or to be used as the primary lot. So I tend to agree with this letter that I don't see a need to expand that lot because I think that the access really is difficult getting in, getting out of it. And there is a better parking area available at the commuter lot. So I don't have a recommendation for what the board should do, but I would think that 75, well, I'm not even sure where this money is coming from, but to me, it should, yeah, who? It's but is it DEP leading the charge on this? I'm not really sure.
Yes.
Okay. I just don't think it's, I think that there's money that could be spent. It should be spent elsewhere. And I wouldn't support expanding that parking area.
Amanda?
I concur with, you know, Rod and Gwen. I guess my question is, what communication has the town received from DEEP and when did we get any?
When did we?
Yeah, that does the town receive any information?
I don't recall having received that information.
Oh.
This is the ARPA.
I know it's state land, right? But still, you would kind of expect.
I first personally learned about it at a Hawk River Trail meeting.
It was just before I received a copy of the letter from the Conservation Commission. Okay.
Having worked on the original trail, Gwen brought up a point that we really emphasized when we pushed to have that flyover to go to the existing commuter parking lot. Mm-hmm. And everyone on board, that was one of the reasons they were willing to spend the additional hundreds of thousands of dollars to build that bridgeway over there, because they had the parking area that could be expanded if they needed it there. And having it a expanded with some of the most horrendous access and exit is, to me, is creating a traffic hazard. It doesn't improve anything. I think it creates an issue that's tricky enough as it is. And I frankly would oppose it with a suggestion that two things. One, that commuter parking lot is in need of some serious help.
Mm-hmm.
They would refurbish that, and they filled in an area. They can expand it if they need it in the future. And that would be my suggestion. And I, frankly, I'd be willing to make, if it's appropriate, make a motion to the board to suggest that recommendation back to, is it DEEP that's doing this? Yeah.
Yes.
DEEP.
I would just also, I think we should add to that recommendation that they should consider putting in signage that points, it's more, mm-hmm. you know, that points to the commuter lot, so people know that it's there and that there is extra parking over there and it's safer and easy to access.
Gets lit up. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, I'm sorry, Pam. Go ahead.
Please continue.
I think that some of the land that includes the access and the pond area where there's currently parking is Town of Bolton land. So, you know, the property lines there are pretty confusing, but it's not all state-owned land there. So I'm kind of surprised that DEP has not notified the town of its proposal to do with this expansion project. Secondary comment on that.
I think we need to focus on safety. That is a horrific entrance and exit
mm-hmm.
at that point, at the juncture of 6 and 44 that merge at the same point. Those people that aren't familiar with the area, very steep, terrible. And I would not recommend it be expanded. I would rather even see it go the opposite direction and discourage people from using it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, the commuter line is perfect and it's designed that way with the flyover. Unless they want to give us $75 million and fix the whole thing.
Yeah. Just add a zero.
Like that one.
Here.
Couple zero.
So will you expand this? So this is the ARPA money, which we of course realized that this ARPA money had to be signed up and by the end of last year, December 31st. So this is a finished deal for them. This, as far as the money goes, and if you were to change that, that money would go away. It's all state owned.
You've confirmed that, or you're making an assumption.
Well, I'm making an assumption that, well,
but even so, it doesn't. I mean, if the board feels strongly, it doesn't hurt to send a letter,
right?
Could we see if there's a consensus?
All right. All in favor of sending a letter? You say aye. For a consensus?
Well, to
draft a letter.
To draft a letter to send to DEEP to oppose the expansion of the additional parking.
Primarily for safety reasons.
With a copy to our legislators.
What?
I think we should copy our legislators on the list.
Well, yeah, no doubt. But
we should notify them of this, the situation as it stands. But I would like to ask if Mr. Chairman, one would consider being a liaison with you and Jim.
Along with me? I don't know that I'm going in your direction. I don't think I am, but because it's not our property, it's the state, and they're going to do what they want. And we don't want them telling us what to do with our property, do we? So
I'm not, I really not, I believe that the town owns some of that land.
I think she's right.
So the first inkling we had that anything was going on was, I think it was last winter, Rod called me and said, there's flags all over the place. Do you know what they're for? And I said, no. And I think he's been ferreting this out since then. And I'm not sure. I haven't had a chance to talk to him. But I'm not sure where he got his information. But I think he may have found out from Kim Bradley at Deep the same, essentially at the same time that I did, that this project was going on.
I'm sorry. You know, since they have a set of funds dedicated for that area, it doesn't mean they couldn't tweak it. I mean, quite frankly, those funds could be easily be utilized for improvements of some of the facilities there, the trail itself. I mean, rather than, I who knows how they wrote this thing up or how it's stated.
But I think you're right. If it, even if it is ARPA funding, they could probably tweak the scope of a project,
right,
as long as they're under contract for that amount.
Because there's always, because that area, it does get this considerable amount of traffic and this and that. And then we brought up points about notifying people, access, where to go, where, and simple stuff like that that hasn't been done, that should be done. And we've had folks who utilize that trail who had suggested some improvements on it. They're costly improvements. And these are the funds that I think could be more properly, appropriately redirected to be used that way rather than expand the parking lot. It would solve those issues and at the same time, I think, not create a what I consider a very dangerous, hazardous issue on traffic. That's my comment.
So do we have a consensus on sending a letter?
I think
we do. Okay.
Maybe Jim?
Focused on safety, access, commenting about the flyover, utilizing the commuter parking lot, and adding signage where people actually know where to park, and copy to legislators.
Right. You can say, we know you're trying to do a good thing, but
they're the ones with all the engineers who know the traffic on the highway and they know the entrances there.
Go ahead, Bob.
Thank you for pushing my button. Having worked with their engineers in the trail and also the intersections on there, I can tell you they have come up with the most horrendous variations of how to deal with that issue. That I could put a number of squirrels with little markers and running around, and they can come up with as good a project in some of the projects that come up. The next one will come
to the end. All right, so survey says send them a letter. Next is the Colonial Road area regarding power outage and tree trimming help.
Is this Mr. Slocum?
Yes.
I would like to suggest to the board that we put this on our next meeting agenda as an agenda item with an interim having the selectman's office and the town clerk's office look at the issues of road ownership, right of way, and other outreach to Eversource, and then report back at their next meeting.
May I?
Yes.
I would prefer just to try to get a meeting between Eversource and these wonderful folks. That's going to take another month, and we won't have made progress.
Then I would ask that you just report back. That would be easy.
At the next meeting. Having that as an agenda.
That might be a part of our work, but I would really rather that's where my focus would be. We've been in contact with the Eversource arborist. He informed us that 2 years ago they did tree trimming there. He's gone out again and he didn't think there was much of anything that Eversource could do at this time. But I can try to facilitate a meeting because I think these folks have questions that even I can't answer, and perhaps Eversource can actually answer them directly. So I would like to try to facilitate a meeting between Eversource and, you know, this nice small group of people who are wonderful to deal with.
It's an issue, I think, too, of land ownership right away and the usage, and really looking at the 21st century needs. Safety is important. We also have the well that's right there, the community well. And maybe we begin to do a little strong arming of the electric company to look at redirecting where the power is coming from.
Or at least having redundant feeds.
In a lot of those cases, they do a loop.
Right. They do, so they have switching
available. So that if that line gets a short, it loops around a different direction. So
I mean,
is the water table too high to put them underground there?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Millions of dollars.
For not enough homes, but
just for that small stretch from Cubles to Sunnydale. Oh, got infrastructure dollars. Why don't
I stop that? Okay, is there any other comments on that? Then we're going to move on.
Oh, sorry, I thought you raised your hand.
No,
oh, I'm sorry.
We're going to move on to the, I don't see anybody online either. The waiver of justification for the HVAC, that's just a correspondence
notification, right,
from the school board that they're going to be moving forward with that. Is there any questions on that? Seeing none. We need the approval of the minutes. December 3rd, 2024.
I'll second.
Amanda seconds. Six of them. Is there any questions? Yes.
Item 8, the last paragraph, it begins G. Mora. I actually think that I was the one who made that comment. So I think that should be G. Marion. Bob, is that your recollection as well? Because it's either you or me. And it's page 4, last paragraph. It says G. Mora recommended. So it's either Gwen Marion or Bob Mora, but it's not G. Mora. We know that.
Writing specific questions.
I think that was you.
Yep. Thanks, I agree. So that is the only question I have on these minutes.
Is there any other questions? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
That's 6 yes and 1 abstain. And for now for December 17th.
The adoption of the minutes I presented for the December 17th special meeting.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any questions?
I'm sorry, who moved and who seconded?
Mather.
Bob Moore moved it. Mather Clark seconded.
Thank you.
We love that we have an audience, but you guys shouldn't feel that you have to stay for the meeting.
Perfect. Yeah. No, yeah.
We would like to thank the board for listening to our problem.
Yeah, and it seems that
hopefully we can come to a solution.
Thank you.
Yeah, hopefully.
Well, there should be a resolution that'll work.
Is there any questions on the minutes for December 17th? All in favor?
Aye.
That's 6 yes and 1 abstaining. Pam Sawyer. Now for the minutes of December 30th. Good night.
Good night, guys. Thank you.
Thanks.
Take care. Thank you, guys.
You guys have fun.
I'll move the adoption of the December 30th special meeting as presented.
I'll second.
Is there a second? Amanda seconded. Any questions? All in favor?
Was that Gwen?
Amanda seconded.
Amanda seconded. Who moved it?
Bob Mora.
Bob again. Okay. Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
That's 5 yes and 2 abstain.
3.
Tim?
No, 3. I'm abstaining too.
That's 4 yes. We have Pam, Mather, and Tim all abstaining. And then we move down to reports and updates.
We have a student with us, Jeff Livingston, and he is on our agenda for item 6B. I would ask that we, with the board's consent, move it forward so that he could get back to doing studying for midterms.
All in favor? Yep. Aye. Okay. Shep, you got the floor. Your number, you've been moved to number 5A plus.
Thank you, Mr. Fournier, Selectman Fournier. My name is Shepard Livingston. I live at 59 Maple Valley Road. I'm here to talk about my capstone project, which I'm planning to do a 1 mile road race on February 2nd. I'm naming it the Groundhog Day Mile. I have a map of my proposed route. Let's see if I can share it.
I think you can.
Yep. So so can you guys see it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the plan, my planned route is to start the race at the top, at the kind of the crest of the hill of Brandy Street, right by these two houses up here. There's a barn, and then the race will continue down Brandy Street before taking a left into Hanover Farms, and then finishing just before the cul-de-sac. I've run this course before doing a time trial for track, so I'm familiar with it, and I think it would be a good, you know, route for the runners. I'm planning to start the race at 11 a.m. Because hopefully give time if there's snow for snow plows to get around in the morning, if there's snow overnight, as well as it also just works out with my personal schedule. I have a snow date of February 9th, so a week later, in case it needs to be called off because there's too much snow. I've talked to Mr. Maselli at the high school to get permission to use the school facilities, the bathrooms, and have a warm place for the runners to congregate before and after the race, as well as parking, obviously. So what I'm asking the town to help for the town or help from the town is to close the roads that funnel into the course for the time when the races are on the course. So Loomis is one of the roads that enters onto the course, as well as Brandy on both sides.
Can I interrupt you for 1 second?
Yes.
I thought I'd seen an earlier version of this, and it was Loomis down Brandy. Did you change that?
Yes, you're correct. I had an earlier version that started at the end of Loomis and then went down to Brandy, and I've since come to the conclusion that I think this route is better, just because it keeps the runners, when they finish, you know, they're on a more quieter road, which obviously the road's going to be closed at that point, but I think it'll be better, better for that. And plus the start is also, you know, there's going to be no cars, you know, there. If I'm starting at there's going to be cars, you know, that can still come to that intersection. Obviously, I'm not going to be turning on a Loomis, but they're going to be going by. I think it'll be also easier for people to get to the start of the race.
Coming so the from start the, is at the top of the hill before
yeah,
the high school.
Top okay. of the hill before.
Got it. Thank you.
Do you understand where everybody understand where it's yeah, going?
So you're parking at the high school, everybody walks up to the top of the hill, it begins, you run down
yes.
and end up on Hanover?
At the end.
And yes, at the end of Hanover.
And how did and we do walk back?
Yeah, so runners will walk back. They're free to mill about for a bit, but then they'll walk back, you know, you obviously using the you know the left side of the road.
How many people are you anticipating? I'm just trying to get a sense of, you know, the timing and the number of people that might be.
Yeah. I would love to get 50 to 60. You know, obviously I'm finding out that I'm, you know, running a time crunch right here. You know, it's everything's been going quick with school and that sort of thing. So I would love to get 50 to 60 runners. That's about as much as I see.
50, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tops.
Yeah. Off some walkers too, but they shouldn't take any more than, you know, it's a mile than 20 to 25 minutes. Then you know, you got to count another 15 minutes, you know, walking back to the school. Yeah.
Amanda?
But I don't, yeah, sorry.
Give my ignorance, Chef, but is there like a purpose behind this? Is it raising money or like how, what's the relationship of a race to your capstone project? I don't know much about the capstone projects.
So as far as understanding, the Bolton capstone is just a project to demonstrate, you know, how much you've learned with, you know, leadership skills and, you know, organization and that sort of thing. You know, I do have a charity in mind, in case I have any extra funds, I'd like to donate the money to do the project graduation, you know, getting that money back to my class as, you know, I'm a graduating senior this year. You know, I'm planning a $15 sign up fee because I do have to cover prizes and possibly, you know, some baked goods or something like that for the runners. And the big cost is opening the school because, you know, it's Sunday. So I think the custodians get like double overtime pay or something like that. So I put the cost is about $160 for the janitors to open and close the schools. So hopefully the cost obviously should cover that. And then any leftover funds will be donated to the Bolton project graduation.
And who's going to be closing the roads? Did you have a discussion with the fire department? Or?
Yeah, I had correspondence with Bruce Dixon at the fire department, and he said that that the roads that we would talk at the meeting here, and then reconvene after that.
So that
I believe the chief is on the meeting. Chief, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Good evening. Yes, I am. Good evening.
Good evening, Bruce. How are you?
Doing better. Thank you very much. Appreciate the first one to ask me that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So what's your thoughts on that as far as personnel and being able to
I think the conversation that back and forth with Shep, and I applaud him for taking out a project like this, is that after this meeting and what the body at the selectmen thought, then it would be a sit down with the town administrator, the state police, and the fire department, and we'll come up with a plan at that point. I see the road. What I'm understanding is the track now is probably from like Alexis down to Hanover, strictly on Brandy Street. Forget the 100 feet. Forget the 100 feet. That's the area. We've got to be shut down. Okay.
Yeah, just north of Alexis.
That's got to be a conversation, as I mentioned to you earlier, with the state police, town administrator, and the fire department. Come up with something if we can. Yep.
Okay.
Bob, to answer your question, you're looking at shutting down Brandy and Alexis. You're shutting down Loomis. At Brandy, and realistically, a signage at Hebron and Loomis, and then signage at Hanover, just past Hanover, and a basically road closed sign down at Brandy Street in Bolton Center.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. Thank you.
Just safety-wise for any pedestrian, any vehicle traffic. Yep. Especially in light of what just happened down in New Orleans.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else, Jeff? Bruce?
No. Sorry,
you go, Bruce. Oh, okay.
The other thing is...
Yeah,
Jeff, the floor is yours. Fire department is clear.
Thank you. I have insurance is being provided by Bolton Boosters Club. They have the waiver for the runners to sign. So,
just a comment.
Yeah, me.
Concept is fine, but I think for us to approve anything like this, it would have to be a project that would be approved by the. We normally have the fire department, police, and town administrator review the plan, and Jim could probably say you have a whole safety procedure.
So I go through. I did review the preliminary plan, and I sent Shep some questions. He and I have not been in direct contact, because the information I got came initially through Rodney, and then I did respond to him and say, look, it's a weekend. I don't have staff. Right. So I don't have anybody to put barricades out. We can put barricades out. But, one of the questions I had for you, Shep, is do you have volunteers that can help put the barricades out? I did talk with our resident trooper. He's not on February 2nd, but he was willing to change his dates of work so that this could be covered by him, so that we don't incur overtime costs for the resident state trooper. If we can resolve issues with, getting volunteers to help put barricades out that are covered by insurance, as well as, coverage from the state police and assistance from the Bolton Volunteer Fire Department, I don't see any reason why we couldn't go ahead. I guess my other thing would be, something you need to think about is, we're going to be closing roads essentially in a neighborhood. Mm-hmm. For 20 to 30 minutes, you would have to find some way of notifying them that this is going to happen, because we can close the road at the end of Hanover Farms and Brandy Street, but what happens if somebody on Hanover Farms decides to go grocery shopping during the middle of your road race, or anybody along that stretch that you're running, right? So there's some notification that would have to take place as well.
I was just to piggyback off that. I was wondering if you'd done outreach to the neighbors at all. It is, you're proposing to do a kind of a later time on a Sunday, right? Which is the time when people go out to Jim's point and run errands. And I don't know if you've gotten a sense that our neighbors along that route supportive of the idea. Are they willing to, stay in their homes for that time? Just because I know we've gotten flack from some residents for setting stuff up without, talking to them first. And so transparency and communication is super important.
Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah.
And from that point of view, it seems like a earlier time would be better, like 8 o'clock or.
Church.
Yeah.
Well, there's church at 10.
Yeah.
All morning.
We're subject to that anyways. on that 5K race that they have.
Mm-hmm. It's time up a lot longer.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Granted, that's
but there's been Saturday. A lot of information and posting about that over the years, and people are ready for it. They know it. They see it in town green. I recommend that, Shepherd, that you put together a flyer and on the approval of the selectmen and put it in people's doors, mm-hmm. not in their mailboxes.
Not in their mailboxes.
Right. But they could be draped over their flag of their mailbox, perhaps.
That's legal. Yep.
Or a little baggie of some kind, and hung from their mailbox so that the residents are notified that to make plans accordingly. And they could leave their cars at the farm or something.
Or just leave for an hour.
Yeah. Leave for an hour.
Yeah,
leave early. It's going come back late.
Or sit in the front lawn and watch the race.
Or
please watch the race.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And hope that it's not 20 below.
Yeah.
Well, then from the living room window, I guess.
And then make sure you put the rain snow date on.
It's
a rain date.
Yeah, on
so or it sounds date. Like sounds like we're pretty much in consensus with the caveat that it continues to work for fire administrator and state police.
Do we? I guess we have to prove this, don't we?
You should, yeah. Yes, because yeah. It's a closure of town road.
No, I'm not going to move anything right away. I'm going to think it out instead of doing my normal word salad here. Move we approve the Mr. Livingston's request to hold his Groundhog Day run on February 2nd and with a backup date of February 9th. With the various stipulations that were discussed at the meeting, such as notifying all the residents along the property, meeting with the proper authorities, and getting approvals from all the proper authorities to include town administrator, our resident trooper, and the Bolton Fire Department.
Open the barriers.
And also to provide proper staffing to put up and take down these street barriers.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. That's 7 yes. Congratulations. I look forward to seeing the letter in my mailbox.
On top of your mailbox or on your door. So, all right.
And thank who you, seconded?
That's Pam Sawyer.
Okay. I can't see. You're all very tiny with this on the screen.
We'll wait at the end. My mini works out.
Okay, so now we'll get back to the budget and tax update.
Thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you. I'm glad you could make it.
Go study.
So is there any input on the?
No, everything is on track. You know, last year at this time we were talking about concerns over refuse, but even that looks to be on track.
Then moving on, we'll consider an act on approving the budget transfer.
I'll make a motion that we approve the budget transfer as proposed.
I'll second that. All in favor? Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
That's 7 yes. Budget transfer approved.
Was that Tim that seconded?
Negative.
That was Rodney that seconded.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Do I sound like Tim?
I don't know. You were looking down. I couldn't tell.
Sounds like you. Tim sounded a little different. Now, for ongoing business discussion on policy and procedures regarding the grand list. So we wanted to discuss whether the committee that was put together is going to be moving forward with that.
So the recommendation from the committee was just that the Board of Selectmen implement policies. If you want us to develop specific ones for consideration, that's something that would have to get sent back to the subcommittee. Right. We didn't come up with anything specific other than document retention policies and checks and balances as two categories where we need policy development.
Yeah. I agree.
That's good.
So which way do we want to
I just want direction and guidance so that we can move it forward. Well, you know, pretty soon here, we're going to be trying to finalize the October 2024 grand list. And I would like to have something in place prior to that.
So, I think, go ahead.
Well, maybe to respond on, our concern was we wanted to make sure that there was a redundancy policy in place so that we retain we have a retention time limit. So we have if we get transferred documents, we should retain them for
so many years.
Whatever.
Right.
One.
Yeah. I don't know that this is something that we can fully address in the short term. I think we need quite frankly, we need more information, right? So what document retention and storage policies already exist? If we are currently supposed to, if we have policies that say certain state retention policies, what are they and how are we training staff? Like it's a bigger picture thing, I think, than a short-term fix. I mean, we can certainly put something temporary in place if the board wants to do so, but I do think it needs more research and thought put into it before we can implement something long-term.
So this was put in regarding the grand list. So
but we don't,
because we have a new grand list going to be coming out, we want to get that policy in place.
So what I'm hearing, what I'm hearing from Amanda is maybe put some checks and balances in place immediately so that we make sure this issue doesn't repeat itself, and then look more globally at policies and procedures.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't mean to jump in here, but that's exactly what that was part of the committee's discussion, and that was really where we were going with this thing, in that it should be, as Jim says, a policy that's town-wide in all our this whole administration going forward. We never really had we've had it at piecemeal, but this points out we should have a general policy, a overall policy, and this, since it never happened before, we probably hadn't looked at certain aspects that we are now looking at. So.
I mean, I think in order to develop a temporary policy, I would need maybe a conversation with Kara to understand how the standard year differs from a reval year, because I don't even know if the export difference that caused all these issues even happens in a non-reval year, which I don't think it does. So it may be a moot point.
Do we have a resource that would come up with a basic policy of some sort?
You could reach out to perhaps some of the bigger groups, CCM, or Costa might have something.
Costa, one of those folks. Temporarily, we're not creating, we're not reinventing the wheel here.
Just tickle them and see if they have anything that somebody's got it in there.
When it comes to a whole big document retention policy, I have, you know, samples of that, but as it relates to this specific one, I wouldn't. I wasn't prepared to come up with something specific, but I think with regards to this year, because it's not a reval year, the issue is making sure essentially that Kara and Lori are on the same page with regards to the data between their two systems.
Yeah, and I'm on the board's behalf. I mean, the policy is a responsibility of the board, but on the board's behalf, I am absolutely willing to sit down and meet with staff and see if we can come up with, you know, some language for stopgap measures to make sure that, you know, we don't experience this issue again.
So is everybody in favor of that?
I think that's really where we felt we should start.
Okay.
Yeah. And I asked Rodney to, you know, have this on the meeting agenda tonight so that we could discuss this, so that I have some direction and guidance as to where the board wants this to go. So I'm happy to do that. I'll try to get that done next week.
And I'll look at have we looked at the employee the really old employee? I don't think there's anything in there.
There's nothing in there about that.
Now for new business, consider an allowing our California to be certified official to execute contracts for the DEMHS Cybersecurity Grant Program.
Mr. Stuckman?
Yes.
Mr. Stuckman, I would make a motion that we have our first selectman, Rodney Fournier,
be certified
for the State of Connecticut Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection for the state and local cybersecurity grant program.
Is there a second? Can I
make a correction for you?
Yeah.
Department of Emergency Management and Homeland Security.
That's what APS is.
Okay. Their title doesn't match their acronym.
Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection, Division of Emergency Management and Homeland Security.
Mm. Oh, it's a division. It's a division.
Thank you. I stand corrected.
Bob Morris seconded that. Yeah. All in favor? Or is there any discussion? Hold on.
I have a question.
Sorry. Yeah.
I'm just wondering exactly what Rodney is signing here, because it's a Rodney Fournier, am authorized to execute the attached agreement on behalf of the town of Bolton. So we don't have that attachment. So I just am wondering whether it sounds like the intent is to have Rodney be able to sign all sorts of contracts under this heading, but it says he's authorized to execute an attached agreement. So So
your motion specifically was for the cybersecurity grant program. That's what your motion is for. And that you've already authorized us to apply for those grants, which we have.
Mm-hmm. Which would be the contracts, execute contracts.
So this should really read, I Rodney Fournier, am authorized to execute contracts relating to the cybersecurity grant program.
Or is a document that came from the department.
Yeah, I get it. You know, of course, is always going to be, you know, but I'm just, there's nothing attached to this, which bugs me. You know, if somebody might get this back and say, well, all Rodney's authorized to sign is what was attached. Well, what is attached? So
is this going with the application? Is that what's being attached? The application for the cybersecurity grant?
Not, we already applied for the grant.
Right.
So it would be a contract of,
of the grant
if we were awarded it.
Right.
But we just don't have to have it before.
You know, I have no problem authorizing Rodney to the general concept of signing contracts, but this specific document is saying that he's signing for an attachment. So
written by an agency with all kinds of attorneys and all kinds of people.
This didn't come to us with an attachment.
I don't know, because it didn't come to me. It came to our emergency management director.
Oh.
When's it? Do you know when this is due?
I think it's past due.
Of course.
I'm good with it the way it is. I don't think they're trying to trick us there.
Is there any other discussion on this?
I have a second.
Yeah.
It didn't.
Who seconded?
Table it.
Who seconded that? Nobody?
I don't think anybody.
I think Bob did.
Thank you.
Okay.
Gwen had a discussion. I'm sorry. I missed the conversation.
So all in favor?
Aye.
2, 3, 4, 5, and 2 no's.
I'm going to have to vote against it just because it's so unclear what you're actually being authorized to do.
Amanda's abstaining. Gwen votes no, and there's 5 yeses. Next is to consider an act on date for town meetings last week of January or first week of February. For expenditure of the ARPA funds. So we have the funds and we've got the contracts, which the sum of the contracts is only $10 more than the total. And we just need to get it through a town meeting to approve what we're spending the money on.
No.
Did that come out right?
No. Yeah. So we have two ways. So right now all of our money is in one pot. And that pot is for the demolition of the Notch Road Municipal Center. We have two ways of reallocating those funds to the other projects that we approved and signed contracts for. One is during the budget process to move those monies into the appropriate accounts and wait until after the budget passes to spend those dollars, with the exception of the money that's in the Knox Road demolition account that can already be spent. And we've already spent some of it on the school project. However, I think it's probably better to have a town meeting to discuss this publicly and move those funds so that we can get those monies expensed sooner rather than later. And we can do that with a town meeting, with the approval of the taxpayers at a town meeting.
So that could be done in January, early February, instead of in next July, if the budget passes. Is there any questions? Is there a date that we'd like to pick?
Did we see a list of the actual of the contracts? And did all the contracts get signed by December 31? Excellent. Good. And could you send a list to the selectmen?
I will.
Of all of those contracts and who they're with and what then the amounts that they're for?
Absolutely.
Okay. And that's got to obviously go to the public too for that meeting that we're going to have.
What if we put it on Tuesday at 5:00 and then have the AP that's a little squishy?
What Tuesday?
January 28th.
Sorry, 5:00 tomorrow. I would rather do it early in February myself.
That's what I'm thinking.
Can we put it at 6
last of January? Had we done that?
No.
Have I misunderstood?
No, we don't have. We've executed the contracts. That's what we needed to do before January.
We had the last week of January or first week of February. We were just trying to push it along.
Oh, okay.
As for dates,
our regular meeting would be the 4th.
At 6:30.
You could hold the town meeting at 6:30 and have their meeting at 7.
We can't move the regular meeting, can we?
Sure.
It would become a special meeting.
We change it to a special meeting.
Could we make the public hearing at 6?
That's.
And have the Board of Selectmen meeting immediately following.
It works fine for me.
I mean, it was.
I was just suggesting that day. And we can agree with that.
Sure.
It's the 4th.
6:00 on the 4th. That's the proposal.
Yeah.
6:00 on the 4th.
Yeah.
Can you make it by 6? Yeah. Tim, can you?
Yes.
We'll have to check and see if our moderators are available.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure.
So
do we need to make that motion now? You want to check with the moderator first?
I think you could make the motion pending the availability of the moderator.
I'll make that motion.
Second? Does that need a second?
Sure.
Hey, I'm sorry, seconding it. All in favor?
Aye.
7 yes. Tuesday, February 4th, 6:00, pending moderator's availability for the public hearing for ARPA distribution.
Are all of our selectmen's meeting at 6:30 now?
Yeah,
except for your AP meeting, so you're at 6.
Oh. Well, I don't, for some reason, I had 7 written down. I was glad that somebody sent a reminder earlier today.
Oh, this is your first film, so she thought it was important.
Yeah, I was going to just kind of meet you.
Yeah. And so next is the consider an act on date. No, we just did that.
Jim's
report.
Well,
did I miss something?
Do we want to add something to the agenda to consider an act on the proposed budget workshop dates?
We can do that.
A motion to add item 7C under new business. Consider an act on the proposed 2025 budget workshop dates.
Second, Bob Moore. Any questions? And the reason it's kind of important that we did that. Thank you, Amanda. Is the first ones
next week?
Well, and I apologize with Kathy on vacation and me being sick. Unfortunately, we got to this a little later than we would like, but we did get it done for you for tonight.
So, That would be immediately following the AP meeting. Is there? Are these all immediately following?
No. The 21st is by itself. May 5th is by itself. 18th by itself.
And the 6:30 thing works good.
We have an AP meeting next week.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's not every other week.
It's what?
Oh. I'm sure there's a reason, scheduling wise.
On Wednesday, the 5th of February, I have a standing meeting in the first Wednesday of every month. So that date doesn't work for me. I would miss it if everybody else is available for it.
Which one, Gwen?
Wednesday, February 5th.
Okay,
February 5th.
Could that be changed to the 11th? Tack it on to the AP?
AP is the 11th, okay.
But then there'd be two that week, though. So there's one on the 13th. And it would be two that week and two the week. Oh, one's a couple days.
Then if we're doing well, we can always, you know, drop a meeting, or if we need to, we can add a meeting.
So what do people think about that February 5th meeting? Are you going to keep that one, or will you consider changing that to the 11th?
There's an AP meeting, you said?
Yes. I have an AP meeting written down for that date, the 11th.
Yeah, I can do it after.
I mean, I'm okay.
But that's only, an AP meeting would be just one week after our regular board meeting?
That was my question.
Well, that was because we had not wanted to change the regular Board of Selectmen's meetings from the first Tuesday of the month.
This has gotten to be such a muck mess with the mucking.
Because we were going to combine them, but.
But that's my fault.
Because
people
are so accustomed to the first Tuesday, we didn't want to interrupt the land of steady habits.
Well, and it doesn't always, even if we moved it, it would have lined up more, but it still doesn't line up.
It ended up being three more meetings.
Right.
A year. Yeah. Was it?
It doesn't line up every time.
These APs are online too.
I can do it.
Be nice by the internet.
So what are we doing?
So I'll make a motion that we approve the budget workshop dates as presented, with the exception of removing Wednesday, February 5th, and replacing it with Tuesday, February 11th, immediately following the AP meeting that's already scheduled.
I don't look to make
yeah,
because sure
there might be ZBA or something. We'll bring cake.
That's good. I'll second it.
But we can always meet in a different building.
Yeah, chocolate, of course.
Chocolate with good frosting.
Who's working?
Natalie.
No. I'm sorry. Who seconded?
Bob Moore.
Thank you.
We did look at the calendar when we picked these dates. So there may be a reason to
check with you.
Seems to me there might be ZBA that night.
We have to modify this. And,
the 11th.
11th? Yeah, there's a ZBA at 7.
We can hold it at the
We're already holding our AP meeting in Notch Room A.
Yeah, okay. So
we can do that.
We can do it.
Okay. Is that the only one that's gonna be
a pencil?
Oh,
pencil.
Oh.
Is that a pencil?
Oh, knows to what we get into the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
With pencil.
I wouldn't dare do that.
He's gutsy when we were Bob.
No, they couldn't read it anyway. So.
Well, there's an issue. And a chocolate birthday cake with chocolate frosting, please.
So that's replacing the fifth.
Amanda, do you make good cake?
Replacing the fifth, right? Okay. Tuesday the fifth is going to the 11th.
So before 6 p.m.? Oh, that's a stretch. Running home from work. And...
Thank you.
It's at 6:30.
6:18. AP is at 6.
Oh. Yeah.
And this will be immediately following. And the reason we picked room A is because it's easier for staff to set up the second hour over there as opposed to a different meeting location.
Okay, so now we're on to...
We have to vote.
Yes, you have to vote.
Oh, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. That's 7 yes.
May I ask another question under this same topic?
Yeah.
Is the board okay if I pull together the, well, whatever's left of the CAPA dates, these dates, and the Board of Education into a flyer for distribution to town folks about that shows all the...
With the Board of Finance, the budget... meetings.
Well, I won't have all the finance meetings yet. That would have to be a second flyer, but I want us to try and be more transparent about all the different budget meetings that go on.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. Anybody have
I got them already from
Kirsten. Could you have it co-signed by the first selectman?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'll send it to Rodney to distribute. Yeah.
That's fine. So next on the list is Jim's report.
You did provide your copy this evening when you got here.
I sent some down there.
Do you have one? Yeah. Do you have a gift?
And this is, this is just some of the stuff that we've been working on during the last month. Unfortunately, we had a separation of employment with an employee from the buildings and grounds, and we'll be posting that position to fill. We have executed all of the ARPA grant contracts, which include the demolition and reconstruction of the Notch Road facility, the UTV replacement for the fire department, removal and infill of the manure pit at the Heritage Farm, generators at Bolton Center School and Town Hall, and reclaiming and paving of outdoor basketball courts. I did complete the draft changes to the ordinances, sent them to the town attorney for review. I have his comments back, so I will be implementing those recommendations that were given to us by the town attorney. The Lori Road drainage project is nearly complete, but there'll be some final grading and seeding that'll have to be done in the spring. Something of great joy is that the wetlands remediation at 65 Shoddy Mill Road is complete. It will need some spring planting. Unfortunately, we still have zoning issues and illegal curb cut there that we're dealing with, but at least the thing that has taken a lot of staff time, a lot of town attorney time, that is done. The new fire engine is at Atlantic Detroit with a failed transmission. We're having conversations with Allison, which is the transmission manufacturer, regarding warranty provisions. We have At this point, we have no anticipated date for return to service. All of our December events were very successful. There was a lot of community participation. It was one of the things that we did this year is differently, because we reached out to Bolton Congregational Church, and we actually partnered with them for the event up here, which I think worked out really well for both the town and for the church. We did have a meeting with Kerma to discuss our insurance provisions, and if they had any recommendations for this upcoming fiscal year. And they also gave us an overview of other services that they provide. We have some grant funds that were given to us by the federal government for celebration at the farm, which didn't happen because of COVID. So we have about $10,000 left. So I'll be meeting with some folks from the Farm Commission. We'll be looking at ways that we can spend that money. They don't really want it back. They just want us to find an appropriate way to spend those funds. So we'll be working on that here in the very near future. We did meet with the Capital Region Council of Governments, with the town engineer, and reviewed the Heritage Farm Trail Plan. They have some questions which we are working on answering, but that generally went pretty well. We conducted the pre-bid walkthrough of the Notch Road facility and held the public bid opening. We completed and posted the RFP for the facility study, and we are implementing new invoicing for out-of-state ward clerks. We had conversations with the auditor, the finance department, and it becomes very difficult, you know, to deal with payroll, taxes, and everything else when we have out-of-state employees. So they will be 1099 employees with W-9s, and we've implemented an invoicing system for that. My staff informed me today that they've updated the page, the web page for the 2025 meetings and events. And, you know, I think this is the one that, you know, maybe we want to talk about a little bit. Well, I'm certainly happy to talk about anything, but we're working on putting together some information to potentially apply for the Transportation Rural Improvement Program for potential application to replace the Lyman Road Bridge. You authorized me to do that maybe a year or two ago. We unfortunately did not get the grant at that point. But I think it's the best opportunity we have to get significant funding for that bridge. The bridge condition is changing. We have a crack in the road at this point, which indicates that things are beginning to move. So we really, this is not something that we can continue to not fund and put off. My hope was that we could potentially use town aid road funds for our match. The preliminary information I've gotten back from DOT is that it has to be a standalone project, and the matching funds have to come from a town source. We can't use other grant funds to do that. So, you know, we would be looking at funding around about $510,000 for this project. Looking at the price escalation, you know, when I every time that I look at this, I asked the town engineer to give us, you know, new updated pricing. Every year it seems to go up like 10 to 12%. So, you know, the longer we put it off, the more it's going to cost. So, you know, I haven't got the magic bullet as to where to find the funding. You know, one of the things, these are things that we can certainly talk about in the finance committee meetings about the capital budget and other finance meetings and budget meetings with the Board of Selectmen. And I'm not going to ask you to, you know, authorize me to apply for the grant tonight. I've got a month to get it done. I'll have the grant ready to go so that as soon as we figure out if we can fund this, and I think we'd be in a position that we could fund it over a 2-year period. By the time we got the grant, put money in the capital budget, put money in, I think we could spread the finances out over a 2-year period. So we're not trying to, you know, eat it all up in 1 year. But we have to make sure that we have the funding in place before we apply for the grant, or at least the mechanism for the funding.
Amanda?
Who's responsible for awarding that grant? What department or what?
So it's a department. These grants come from the Department of Transportation,
okay,
but they're administered through the Capital Region Council of Governments. So they act as conduct agents. when reviewing the grants.
So CAP region would be the one to approve or deny it.
Usually their transportation committee. The last time we applied, there were extra points for, you know, trails and connectivity issues and things of that nature. And we just, compared to the other grant applications, we didn't rank. And so, you know, it's just a, you know, standalone bridge.
Safety issue.
In the middle of nowhere,
I mean,
right?
You know.
So, the other opportunities for grant funding for this bridge would be the state and local bridge program, but they only fund 50%. And when you do the math, this is a better choice.
We do both, and
you can't. No,
you can't.
That's the problem. Is most of these grants don't allow you to use other grant sources to make the match.
Or you mean just apply for both of them?
Then accept if we get both, accept whichever one is in our best interest.
Just take the best one.
Well, I don't know that there is an opportunity to apply for that, the other program at this point. Right now, the TRIP grant is open until February 4th at noon.
Gosh. Okay.
I've already prepared one for this bridge, so it's not going to be a heavy lift to get the grant prepared.
Just new pictures showing the new crack. Really driving home.
Well, the issue with that location and that particular, it's culvert, but call it a bridge, is with these heavy rainfall, the amount of water surge through there is incredible. And actually, the area. And this, if it happens occasionally, you can stretch it, but this has happened numerous times in the last few years. I don't see anything.
What's the floodplain for half a boat?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it really is.
It really is.
Makes sense.
And it's just impacting that something that was not designed to do what it's doing.
Is the new design an actual bridge?
No, I believe it's box culverts. So right now, I think there's twin corrugated stainless,
right.
Corrugated steel culverts,
right.
And they wear at the waterline.
Right.
And that's exactly what's happened here. These culverts have worn at the waterline.
Yeah.
And, you know, things are beginning to move.
Yeah.
And
so that's concrete, you know, box culverts.
Concrete box culverts is, I believe, what the bridge design is called for.
And that's more sustainable than the current.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I am.
Out in the bus. Well, certainly me.
And more of a expensive construction method.
Well, another issue too, you have to keep flowing. And so there's a whole issue of in that construction where you have to divert the water while you're doing the bridge and then re-divert it and do it.
So what's the total cost of that project?
It was just shy of 1.7 million. So
yeah,
crazy, isn't it?
That's
and then it would be, you know, about $340,000 match. And then in conversations with the town engineer, additional engineering and helping with the bid documents and bid process would be estimated probably on the high side at about $170,000. And that also included construction, you know, inspections during construction.
Doesn't the box culvert actually speed up the flow of the water through it? Because there's no, the corrugated pipes kind of slow it down. And I'm just thinking about erosion on the downside if you're putting in a slick
That's one of the things that they have to worry about with the engineering. Is they have to worry about scour, they have to worry about, you know, the velocity of the water. Those are all things that they have to do in their engineering design.
So is there going to be some kind of material placed on the outflow?
Normally you have a natural bottom in those box culverts, and that's one of the things that they really like about box culverts, mm-hmm. is it's a structure that's not going to move and decay like the corrugated steel, but you can have a natural bottom in there, which is certainly better for the things that live in the water body.
Oh yeah, I thought it was going to have a concrete base, but it's not. So it's like It's not really a box.
It's a box. It's a box.
It's but a they four-sided.
Yep.
And then they're...
But they typically put native material.
I see.
In the bottom.
Okay. So it's placed lower than the bottom of the river.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions on the administrator's report? Yes.
Thank you for letting us know the facility study is out. Do we have an update on the fire department strategic plan RFP? And have we had any discussion on how we plan to spend the $20,000 that the board allocated to improve efficiencies in the finance department?
So, yeah, one of the things I didn't put in my report is we've actually been, Rodney and I did have a meeting with the finance department to talk about some of the things that were happening over there. And the thing that came out of that meeting is that one of the things that would probably really help with their efficiencies is and free them up to do other things is to get rid of paper. So we've actually had meetings with one meeting with a payroll company, and we are having a second meeting later on this week. I believe it's 2 days from now. We are meeting with ADP, and we're going to have those conversations.
I have feelings about ADP.
So, I mean, they're. So we reached out to a couple of companies. They were the
They were what they promised.
Right, they're the company that got back to us the quickest, and so we had a meeting with them, and we're meeting with them with the finance director on Thursday. If we decide to go this route, we would put out an RFP, right, and you know, reach out to others to invite them to bid.
Did we reach out to Tyler and try to talk to them about how we can improve the way that Tyler is working?
We have tried to reach out to Tyler on multiple occasions.
On the number I gave you on the card?
Yeah.
You?
Yes. Tim got the same card. And we actually did get an email back, I believe, last week or the week before. We have to follow up with Tyler. We're trying to meet with them. We're trying very hard.
Where are they based? Are they based?
I don't know that answer.
Okay. People who don't respond to us when we are paying them money.
That was only one answer. What was the other part of your question?
Oh, the fire department strategic plan.
Fire department strategic plan. I've got to work on that some more. What we've done so far is we have pulled together several other strategic plans, and I did meet with Chief Dixon maybe about a month ago. We've been very wrapped up, as you know, in the
ARPA
funding project, okay, which is now at a dull roar. You know, it's manageable at this point. So that and redrafting the ordinances with the town attorney's comments, those are part of my main focus, aside from just day-to-day things.
And off the top of your head, do you have any sense for how much we pay Tyler per year for their contract?
I don't. I wouldn't want to guess.
Okay. I can get it from
Joe. Probably a lot.
I'm about to write a nasty email.
So I remember there's the right to farm ordinance. That's
one of them.
What were the other ones?
Was the bid ordinance?
No.
One was the right to farm. Oh God. No, I'm having them.
There's more than two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was it the ordinance around the dental fund?
Yeah.
No, we weren't going to give it that. There was an issue with
that. Wasn't the contracting?
I'll send it out with the other information I promised.
Okay, that's fine.
I'll send out the list.
And the last on the list is the auditor starting it.
Well, the auditor is not starting. I mean, the auditor has been going and going and going.
Done.
We are still researching answers to questions. We got about 70 questions. Jill answered a bunch, but she had about 70 that she couldn't answer. and sent them over here. And many of these questions go back multiple administrations. So trying to find, you know, contracts that somebody might have signed 10 years ago, some of that can be difficult.
Steve's a busy boy.
It's an amazing amount of work. And we, you know, some of the answers are simple and easy. You know, we can answer them off the top of our heads. Others, you know, go back beyond the period of time that any of us here at the table have familiarity.
So he's auditing expenses from last fiscal year. So it's related to expenses we're paying the contractors, and we don't know where the contracts are. Like, we're paying things on contracts that are that old.
Some of them are old, yes.
Okay.
And it's just been the natural course of business for the town.
Yeah.
Over the years, and he's questioning them, and I think rightfully so.
But he's pulling random.
Yeah, I think it's. I don't think there's a particular order of things.
Shall we move on to number nine?
Which is adjournment.
Take a motion. I'll beat him.
Bob's favorite.
Nope.
Make motion to be adjourned.
Bob seconding it. All in favor? Aye. Meeting's adjourned.
Harry, who moved it?
Pam motion. Bob Morris seconded.
At 8:01.
Pam motion.
And everybody approved. And everybody
thank
approved.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Take care.
You too.
I almost took my phone off.